I don't think you folk could possibly understand how busy I've kept. But we've been kept busy, busier than we have time. I just wish that that I had time to spend a day with each of you. And you'll have to forgive me. I'm not at all indifferent to any appeals. And I have a tender, very tender heart. And if some of you find that I just don't have time to talk to all of you, I hope you'll be understanding. In the meantime, I'll try to see as many of you as I possibly can. I was wondering about the continuation of our program tomorrow and Friday, which will be our last 2 days together. We had planned an entirely different schedule. We may have opportunity, however, to talk at least maybe on one of these topics before the end of the week. But I'm wondering tomorrow, how many of you would like to have a continuation of this subject tomorrow? Would you like that? Tomorrow I had planned to speak on the economics of the world, but if... Now, may I see your hands? How many of you would like me to continue this topic tomorrow? Would you? Now, please don't say it out of politeness. How many wish I'd quit? Well, tomorrow then, we'll continue this topic, and if possible, we might be able to have a few microphones available on long cords that some of you folk would have some questions that you'd like to ask. And if we can have some microphones out in the audience, we'll try to answer some of your questions tomorrow, and that might be very, very helpful. Now, I'd like to read a text of Scripture that has, in the light of my experience, taken on a new depth, a new meaning to which I had never given before, but which, in the light of our experience, has become obvious as a train wreck. In Revelation chapter 18, verse 1, "After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird." Now, I have been talking on this text for a long time, but it only recently has come into focus for me that I'm going to share with you now, that this angel which comes down from heaven, by which the earth is lightened with the glory of God, has a special message for the world. That special message concerns devils. The message says that Babylon is fallen, is become the habitation of devils. This message is an expose of the machinations, the work of devils, and that has become the hold of every foul spirit. The message concerns the pointing out of the work and machinations of devils and pointing out the foul spirits. That had never hit me before. I do believe with all my heart that we are now in the beginning of the sounding of the voice of the fourth angel. Because I call you to bear me witness that in this week we have been exposing the work of devils. We have been pointing out what the foul spirits are doing. I believe that the fourth angel is now sounding, and that the earth is going to be lightened with his glory. The glory of God's ability to deliver and to counteract the work of the devil in the world. Now this morning, I want to talk to you about the subject of demons that I have met. And that may sound like a rather sensational topic. It's not intended to be that, in effect. But it is the best way that I can tell you a wide variety of experiences that we've had, especially in the life of one young woman with whom I am very well acquainted and to whom I have ministered. And out of her experience, I think we may learn a great deal. I had an appeal come on the telephone from the state of Massachusetts that there was a young lady out there having severe problems, a young married woman. I went out. The thing that was happening was this, that she had been picked up. She lived in a third-story apartment. She had been physically picked up and had been thrown down a flight of stairs. Now, these stairs were not carpeted. She had been thrown down the stairs. Well, a lot of people could write that one off and say, well, there were no carpet on the stairs, and consequently, the fall downstairs was perfectly natural. It was only the result that she slipped. Well, let's write that one off and say that it was just an accident, but it wasn't. The family in the second story apartment down just below her, one night, were rudely awakened above their bedroom. They heard something comes crashing to the floor. Now, the wife of the lady in the second story apartment is the Sabbath school superintendent of the local church. And her husband is a member of the Catholic Communion. They heard something go crash on the floor above them. They ran up the steps and came in to this young lady's bedroom, and there she was, flat on the floor, spread eagle like this. And all of the blankets, all of the sheets and everything were laid out in perfect order on top of her. But it wasn't just the sheets and the blankets. The mattress was on top of her that way too. Now the man of the house told me that he came up, and here were all the sheets and blankets, everything all spread out, and the mattress on top of that. And he picked up the sheet and peeked in underneath, and there she was. Now he said at that point that if somebody had told him at any time in his life that he would begin to believe the things that he now believed, he said, I would have said, you're crazy, I don't believe it. But he said when he picked up the sheet and he saw everything arranged in perfect order and the mattress on top of that, he saw that no human being single-handedly alone in the room could have done this. Totally impossible. He said, at that point, I knew that something out of the ordinary was happening and that there were demonic forces that were obviously there that were trying to destroy this young woman. Well, it was under those conditions that I got the phone call. I get phone calls from all over the nation. I have one here in my pocket right now that I'm supposed to call over in the state of Virginia. I get phone calls from everywhere. So I went out to Massachusetts, took a plane, went out there. And I heard these stories that I've just told you because I was not an eyewitness to this thing that happened. But I could see that this young lady was being very badly handled. And I talked to her for a considerable time as to whether she really did want help. She had a tremendous resistance. They were doing her in to the point that she had a hard time even asking for help. And it was difficult, and I won't go into the details, but finally, we went to prayer for her. The lady downstairs, Sabbath school superintendent, and her sister and I went into prayer for this girl. And the demons manifested. They showed up. She was an adopted child, and the first one to come up gave his name was the feeling of not being wanted. The feeling of not being loved. Now let me stop and talk to you about that particular demon that I met. Remember that she was an adopted child, and that at the moment that she was conceived, her mother didn't want her. She was an unwanted pregnancy. Consequently, from the moment that she was conceived, there was born into her a feeling of not being wanted, because she wasn't wanted. How many of you can understand that one? It is just as rational as 2 and 2 make 4. And the first one to leave was the feeling of not being wanted. Now, it wouldn't make any difference whatsoever the amount of environmental love that her adopted family would put upon her. No matter how much they loved her, no matter how many material securities that they would place around her, they would never be able to defeat the demon, the feeling of not being wanted. And they never did. Because they were trying to defeat a demonic entity with material things. And material things cannot defeat a demonic entity. The only thing that could defeat this demon was the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord Jesus Christ wanted her and said, come unto where? Unto me. He wanted her. In Jesus Christ is the defeat of every demonic entity, and that demon was defeated by the fact that Jesus Christ wanted her and claimed her, and therefore he canceled the influence of this demon in her life. There were a number of others that left. The suicidal demon left her. A number of others, and I don't have her battle records before me here. But anyhow, a number of them were totally and decisively defeated. There were others that were still there. Well, at the end of that time, I grabbed a plane and headed back for San Francisco. I got to the place where I was going to be staying overnight, and that was at my wife's parents. It was 10 o'clock at night, San Francisco time. The telephone rang. On the other end of the line, phoning out of Boston, which meant 1 o'clock in the time, 1 o'clock in the morning, Boston time, that here was the Sabbath school superintendent on the telephone, the lady in the second floor apartment. And she was crying, and she said, "You left too soon." I said, "What's going on, Judy?" She said, "A terrible, terrible thing has happened." I said, "What's going?" She said, the young lady went up to her apartment. She took off her blouse and put it on a hanger and was hanging it up in an armoire. An armoire is a large piece of furniture with a clothes rod in it. And as she was hanging up the blouse in the armoire, she was picked up, thrown on the floor, and the armoire was picked up, lifted into the air, and thrown down on top of her. They heard all the noise in the apartment downstairs. They ran up. And here she was underneath the armoire. She said, the lady on the telephone said, "What are we going to do?" I said to her, "Go into battle." I said, "You've been in 3 or 4 battles with me, leading out. Do the same thing." And she said, "Look, I'm not a minister. I can't do that." I said, you're a Christian. You have as many rights to the throne of God as I have. The Lord God is no respecter of persons. Oh, but she said, I don't have any help. It's 1 o'clock. My sister lives miles from here. If I were to ring her telephone, her husband, who is not a Christian, would go into orbit. I can't get her out of bed. It would take so long. I don't have anybody. I said, what about Ray? Ray was her husband. Oh, but he's not a member of the church. I said, that doesn't make any difference. Put him under the blood of the cross and take him into the battle with you. I had to persuade her. Oh, I can't do this. I said, you can do this. Well, we hung up. I don't know what time it was the following morning, but my phone rang. And here she was, the Sabbath school superintendent, on the other end of the line. She said, I have a story to tell you. I said, what happened? Said, we went to battle. I said, what came up? She said, the demon accident came up. And she said, I interrogated him and I asked him, did you throw her downstairs? Yes. Did you throw her out of bed? Yes. What happened to the armoire? I did it to her. And then he bragged, and they are all a bunch of egos, very sick egos. He said, if you hadn't gone to battle for her, I was going to throw her out the window. And if she had gone out through the window from the third story, her death would have gone down in the records of the city morgue as what? As a suicide. But he was thrown out. I talked to the man, the Catholic man, and he said to me, Reynolds, the demon spoke to me. And I said, what did he say? He said to me, who are you? He said to me, what should I have told him? I said, Ray, you should have told him that you are a sinner saved by the grace of Christ. He couldn't deny that one. Because as many as were lost in Adam have been saved in Jesus Christ. We have to accept the salvation. I have good news for you. That man is in church every Sabbath day. I have been out to Boston subsequently. And he said to me, he said, you'll never know. You'll never know the changes that have been made in our lives. You just can't, I can't describe it to you. Well, the demon accident was thrown out. And I was happy about that, and everybody was happy. Until I went down into Southern California to the Los Angeles area, where I was going to pray for a young lady there that had been in and out of mental institutions all of her life. I have news for you about her. She's holding down a responsible job. But the telephone rang in Southern California. And here was the same lady on the telephone, and she called this girl's name and said, she's in the hospital in ICU. Intensive care, and she may not live. I said, is she still alive? Yes, she's still alive. Then I said, I will pray. And I'm not worried about it. She's going to live. You think we ought to have that kind of faith? The Lord has done something for my faith, I can assure you. She lived. They had tubes going in and out of her. She had swallowed an entire bottle of Butabel, a very potent barbiturate. She had started in on this whole bottle early in the morning and started swallowing them, taking 4, 5, or 6 at a time. And finally, about 6 o'clock in the evening, she'd just taken a handful and poured them all in and gushed them all down. Now, I should have told you that the demon suicide had left her while I was there in the first visit. He had gone. She lived. The nurse on the IC unit said that they thought they had lost her a couple of times, but she survived. Well, after she was out of the hospital, I took the plane, I went back to Massachusetts, and I found this young lady, and I got on a plane with her, and I took her to my home in Oregon. This was a crucial issue. I took her to my home in Oregon, and there, my wife and I, and another minister and his wife, we prayed for her. And now I want to tell you about another demon I met. This demon came up, and he came up laughing. And he said, "I almost got her out there, didn't I?" Now, the language of the demonic world always refers to the person in the third person. I almost got her out there. And I said, "Oh, it was you. Who are you? What is your name?" And he said, "My name is Depression." And I followed by saying, "How come you didn't get away with it? You tried to get her out there. How come you didn't get away with it?" And he answered, "Her guardian angel would not let me." I countered with another question. "What did the guardian angel do?" And he said, "He would not allow the drugs to take full effect." And then he bragged again. He said, "I tried to abort her. My concepts regarding abortion have turned around a little bit. At least they've firmed up." This demon said, "I tried to abort her." I said, "Why didn't you do that?" And he said, "The forces would not let me." And I said, "What forces?" And he said, "You know full well what forces. They don't want to say the name of Jesus. The last thing they want to say is Jesus Christ." And so all they did was describe the forces that they could say. Anyhow, I came back to the demon Depression. And I said, "Where did you come from?" And he said, "I came from her mother. I was born in her." And I said, "How was that?" He said, "Her mother was depressed while she carried her." Now, I want to make a comment on that point, that the spirit of prophecy thoroughly supports that thesis, that there are demons that are born into people, and there are demons born into children as a result of the attitude of the mother during pregnancy. I'm quoting Ministry of Healing 372:3. "If before the birth of her child, a mother is self-indulgent, if she is selfish, impatient, exacting, these traits will be reflected in the disposition of the child. In this way, many children have received as a birthright almost unconquerable tendencies toward evil." There it is. It all hangs out. and the truths that we have found in our encounters in the demonic world are absolutely vindicated in the statements that the servant of the Lord has made. I don't know who she quoted that one from. I don't think it's quoted. I think it was God-given, because it is absolutely accurate. There is no deviation from truth in this matter. Well, let us go on with the story. The demon depression was thrown out. A number of others were thrown out. Let me tell you about one of them. There was a demon came up, and his name was Mind Control. M-I-N-D, the mind control. Said, I control her mind. Now, some of you that have, especially young people, if you have difficulty concentrating, of disciplining your mind to do your studies, to pray, to read the Bible, then you ought to, in your own prayers, because self-defense is universal. While a minister or me or somebody else is not always around and available, you have resources available to you. And if there's somebody interfering with your ability to think, rebuke it. Speak to it. I see that some of you are interfering with my thoughts, interfering with my prayers, interfering with my Bible reading, interfering with my study. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you go and let my mind be free. You'll find that if you rebuke him and make him get out, you can do this on your own knees, but you must speak aloud. Not loud, but aloud. You can whisper and they hear you. They have ears like you wouldn't believe. You don't have to shout at them at all. Shouting doesn't impress them one bit. Anyhow, the demon mind control came up. And the reason why I'm telling you about him in particular, I asked him whether he had any troops under his command. And he told me that he had two. And I want you to listen to their names, because you may miss something very vital in your life. And if you're talking to the person next to you, you're going to miss. Under the demon mind control was a demon by the name of karate. And there was a demon by the name of judo. Now let me explain that one. Because at first thought, as I analyzed the battle records, I thought this is crazy that karate and judo should be under a mind control demon. No longer. It absolutely and totally makes sense. You take a karate expert, and with his hand, they will stack up a whole bunch of boards and bricks and cinder blocks or what have you, and you've seen this done on television perhaps, and he will stand, and he will psych himself up. Then he will take his hand and come down like this and break all those boards and bricks and blocks with the naked hand? Come on now. You don't believe that. Mechanically and structurally, it is impossible for the naked human hand to do this. This is in the realm of the satanic. It is not human power that breaks those boards and bricks. It is demonic power that breaks them. It is structurally impossible for the human hand to do this. I don't care how long and how hard you may train to toughen the human hand. It is an action, it is a psychic action. Now let me draw the object lesson here. Some of you may have taken karate lessons. By all means, repudiate all karate. Karate could put you in a prison. In some ill-advised moment, in a temper tantrum, you could kill somebody and find yourself ruined and guilt for that person's death upon you. Repudiate all karate demons, all judo demons. They all must go. It's a subtle form of a satanic invasion, and it is being taught everywhere. Even school children are being taught these so-called sciences that are in effect a demonic skill. Let me tell you about another demon that I met. His name was witchcraft. When he manifested himself and he gave his name, I had a talk with him. I asked him, first of all, where he came from. I never have any dialogue with a demon except that it is directly related to the help of the person with whom I am, for whom I am praying. I asked this demon where he came from. He said, "I came from her father." I said, "How long have you been in her?" He said, "I have been in the family for 240 years. They had transferred along like frogs. The unclean spirits like frogs had come down from great-great-grandparents all the way down, and they hopped like frogs from one generation to the next. I asked this demon about his status, and he told me something that I don't have any reason to doubt, and yet I cannot confirm. He said, bragging, he said, "We are the elite troops." He said, "I get my orders directly from Satan himself." Now that could well be, because in the realm of witchcraft or the psychic, there is a person's will is desiring a direct contact with the demonic world. And consequently, this demon said, "We are elite troops. There are no levels of command separating the witchcraft demons from Satan himself." At least that's what he said. I asked him how many troops he had under his command. And he said, "I have 1,200,000 troops." I interrogated him regarding his lieutenants. And there was one of them identified as being a no-name demon. And those of you who get into this ministry, you may find demons that don't really have a name and yet have a function, an assignment. Under the witchcraft demon, there was a demon that gave her the power to take a deck of cards and hold them. Somebody could shuffle them, and then she could take these cards and hold them with the back side to herself and take them off like this and call the face of every card. Just like this. Call them all off. I said to this particular demon, "What's your name?" And he said, "I don't have a name." How would you describe him? But he was under the control of witchcraft. Don't touch a deck of cards. You know what the deck of cards is concerning? The king is the Father, God the Father. The Queen, the Virgin Mary. The Jack, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you tell me who the Joker is. Now you got the message. And there are 52 cards. These are the 52 weeks of the year. And they are in four decks. in Queens and Jackson, clubs and spades. And these are the four seasons. And the whole thing is built around that which is pagan. Be good to yourself. And maybe some of you are not listening because the devil won't let you listen. But I'm telling you today, you must listen to me. I'm telling you truth. Don't touch a deck of cards. Leprosy can had, or at least it used to be believed that leprosy could be had by contact. And I want to tell you, you don't have any business playing any games with Ouija boards or decks of cards or what have you. Well, here was the demon witchcraft, and I ordered him to leave. And I said to him, all of you demons will leave as a package. Meaning that I wanted them all to go out at the same time. Because, you know, we're always impatient. We always want to hurry everything along. That's how we are who live here in North America. We want to get the job done. And this demon snarled at me. And he said, you mortals are stupid. And indeed I was stupid. He said, if we were all to leave at the same time, it would kill her. Now, I believe that now. I believe it on the basis of the Bible record of the Gospel of Mark chapter 1. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him, T-O-R-N, torn him, cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. Now, apparently in the Gospel of Mark, when this demon left, there was considerable amount of physical violence done to this man in the synagogue of Capernaum. And I can well believe now, on the basis of the Bible record, that if 1,200,000 troops had left this girl all in one package, then it would have done her perhaps severe physical damage. We've seen enough violence in the last 24 hours. So he said, we're going to have to march out. We're going to march out. And then he spoke and said, it will take 20 minutes for us to leave. He said, this is the last time you'll hear my voice. And we didn't hear another word from him. But they started to go. And as a general rule, they go out through the mouth. Sometimes in just blowing, sometimes in coughing. But they started to leave and we could hear them going. My wife looked at her watch. 21 minutes later. During that 21 minutes, we didn't say one word. Absolute and total silence. Words were not necessary. They were leaving. And 21 minutes later, her body went limp. She had long blonde hair. And she reached up like this and pulled the hair out of her eyes. And when she opened her eyes, I could see that it was the young lady. I could tell by looking at the eyes whether the demon was there or whether she was there. And when she opened her eyes, it was her normal eyes, and I knew that they had gone. I want to tell you about another demon that I met. Only about 4 weeks ago. Time has a way of telescoping. For your information, I have been home in Oregon 36 hours since the 27th day of January. I have been living out of a suitcase. and I'm willing to do it. I find it a joy to do it because I'm serving my Lord. And because I'm opening in the Spirit of God, that I'm opening the eyes of all of you folk, that there is a battle to be fought. There is armor to be won. There is the sword of the Word of God to be taken in the hand. There are instruments of power available to us under God that we must learn to use. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every imagination and speculation and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Some of the most sublime language that the Apostle Paul ever wrote. About a month ago, I ran into a demon. We had been praying for this young lady, and I'm going to tell you this story to tell you never to be discouraged and to never quit. A young woman who is a special education teacher in the Dallas Public Schools. She has an IQ, I would say, between around 150. She is a PhD candidate at Texas Women's University. And we had prayed for her no less than 16 times. And the demons would manifest all over the place. But they wouldn't yield. On the 16th or 17th battle, I had not been in all of these, but the first of them began sometime last October. And here comes up a demon. And the demon's name was Anger. I'm going to tell you how his voice sounded. His voice sounded like this. I said, "What is your name?" I had asked him 30 times his name. "What is your name, demon? You must tell me your name. You will tell me your name. I must have your name." At least 30 times I had asked him. All I got was a stubborn expression. But when he finally broke out, "What is your name?" "Anger." "Anger! Anger!" You tell me how many times he answered me. He answered 30 times. He answered once for every time he had refused. Eventually, in the grace of God, we smash their wills the way they smash ours. Anger. When the battle was over, anger had left. This lady told me her experience. She said, all the time that this, before this demon would go, she said, "I saw in full three dimensions and in color the face of every person that had ever hurt me and against whom I had had resentment and anger." She said, "It began in the earliest days of my life. There were the faces of people came up before me that the Lord showed her. And this was as real as a vision of the prophets." Beginning back in the early days of her life, the face of a person who had hurt her, against whom she had become angry, and that face came up, and she had to forgive that person. And as soon as she'd forgiven that person, another face would come up. "Oh, I remember. Oh, that person hurt me terribly." She had to forgive them. And another face, and another, and another. And the face of her husband came up. And he had hurt her terribly. She had to forgive him. And only as she had forgiven everybody that she had ever hated, would the demon anger go. As long as she harbored resentment, the demon anger had grounds by which he could legally stay. Everybody who wants to be free of any kind of a demonic stronghold will have to go back in some area of the life for some reason, under some situation, in which they will need to cancel every ground that we have ever given to the devil whereby that he can manipulate and control our lives. We must learn to take back all ground and give every bit of our lives to the Savior. We must learn to close every door that we've ever opened to the devil. We must open the tabernacle of our soul to the indwelling of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do, every demonic stronghold will be broken. When the Lord Jesus comes, if I may reiterate, everybody in the world, except the elect, will be under the control of demons. But the people of God will have so completely consecrated their lives, their hearts, their feelings, their words, their being, their bodies, so totally to the Lord Jesus Christ that when the devil comes and tries to get hold, there isn't anything to hang on to. That everything has been canceled and wiped out in the blood of the cross, and there is nothing in us by which the devil can gain an entrance. Indeed, it will be said of the people of that last generation, the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. May I recommend here at the end of this particular formal service, may I recommend to you the most marvelous person that I have ever known or met or hope to meet. And his name is Jesus Christ. He is absolutely marvelous. He treats me every day as though I were his equal, when in reality I am nothing. I'm reminded of the words of the psalmist, "What is man that thou visitest him?" What are we? We are nothing. But to think that the love of God is so great that he treats us as though we were indispensable and we are nothing, and that he treats us as though we were his equals, that he is saying to us all here, come and fellowship with me in this battlefield of the world, and then let us fellowship together for all of eternity, and let's be happy together. It's that kind of invitation that I make to you this morning. Let's serve him. He's a marvelous God. And the options on the other side of the street, the devil is a destroyer. He's a bad paymaster. He's a killer and a thief and a liar and a murderer. He's deceitful. He's accusatory. He's everything that's malicious. And all to be rid of him and to realize the beauty of the holiness of the Lord Jesus, to choose the right master. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we glory, Lord, in the marvel of your love. How you welcome us in spite of our mistakes and our sins, which are grievous. You welcome us to your bosom without rancor. Oh Lord, you're truly a marvelous God. We want to know you better, Lord. We want to serve you. Help us to trust you enough to give these unworthy lives of ours into your nail-pierced hand, knowing that you'll make out of our lives something beautiful. Protect us, Lord, from every evil force who are out to deceive and to kill and to destroy. Help us, Lord, to believe and trust your love, and especially, Lord, I pray for these young people here. where they're making the most monumental decisions of their lives. Help them, Lord, to turn away from the destroyer and to turn to you. And know that the joy and the fullness and the glory of life is in walking with you. Oh, Lord, reveal that to them, please. Send your Holy Spirit now into every young person here. Touch every heart of everyone of every age. Carry us, Lord, to your bosom. May we feel your love, and may we give ourselves to you, Lord, as best we know how, for we know not how to do it. May we consecrate ourselves to you. Thank you for Jesus, for his overcoming victory at Calvary, for the marvel of his shed blood, for the cleansing from every sin, for victory over the evil one. Thank you, Lord, for what you did. We never understand how great you are. Now, brothers and sisters, while your heads are all bowed and every eye is closed for just a moment, shutting out the influence of the world, I do hope during this week that the message that you will carry away with you is that Jesus is your Savior. He overcame the adversary, totally defeated him in every way. Will you take Jesus home with you? Not the power of devils, but their helplessness in the face of the name and in the victory of the cross. Take that home with you. That's my ambition, that you may know that Jesus Christ is able to save us unto the uttermost. No coalition of evil that can ever be put together can possibly be equal to that which assaulted him at the cross. With our hand in the hand of the Lord Jesus, that we are invincible. No temptation befallen you that cannot be overcome. Trust him. How many of you today would like to raise your hand and say, Lord Jesus, teach me how to pray. Come into my heart. Give me victory over the doubts, over the attacks of the enemy upon my mind, upon my feelings, upon my body. Lord Jesus, be thou to me the total Savior that you are. Come and do your full work, Lord. Finish what you started. Make me ready for your kingdom, in your power, to your glory, to your praise forever. Would you like to make that commitment today? Just raise your hand wherever you are. Do you know that these raised hands mean something? The angels of God are in this place and they're looking. And we're serving notice on the powers of hell that we're against them. That we are walking with Jesus. That means everything. Oh Lord, take these hands of ours and read our hearts. We serve notice on the minions of hell that we belong to Jesus. We claim him as our Savior, and we would serve him, and we would be with him in his kingdom. Get out of the lives of us all. Stop interfering, that we may rightfully serve our Lord and God, who died upon a cross for us to the glory of his name forever and forever and forever. Amen.